This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for the first hour. This weekend show, we are going to talk a fair bit about the U.S. equity markets and that move to all-time highs that they experienced, as well as some comments on currencies and metals. Please, everyone, keep in touch with me. Email me, fleck at kereport.com, and I'm happy to respond to your emails and also look into the companies and some of the topics you would like to hear. I constantly am developing new topics, and I always love to hear what all of you think. I'm kicking off the show with Jesse Felder, founder and editor of the Felder Report. Jesse, let's just start off with the U.S. equity markets. On Tuesday, they closed at all-time highs. We're actually recording this about three-quarters of the way through on Wednesday, so we don't have all of the weekend closings, but fact of the matter is there still seems to be this low volatility, kind of this FOMO environment around U.S. equities. Please share what you're seeing, why you think these markets just keep on moving higher.
Yeah, I think, you know, the rally kicked off, you know, obviously around just after Christmas, and it started out as all rallies do with short covering. And I think now we're in the later stages where we're seeing this fear of missing out is really driving. My friend Jason Gepfert at Sentiment Trader put out a great chart recently showing the mentions of FOMO in the financial news media, and it's hitting a new all-time high. And the prior two occurrences of, you know, FOMO becoming a really popular thing in among the financial media was last fall before the fourth quarter sell-off, and then January of last year before we had the VIX implosion. And I think another example of this fear of missing out and in the incredible re-embracing of risk in so many ways is the re-embracing of this short volatility trade. We see the amount of speculators that are short VIX futures right now relative to open interest is hitting new records. And so I think that's, you know, it's kind of a self-reinforcing cycle where, you know, stocks are moving higher, so these guys are encouraged to sell volatility. But that selling volatility works as a virtuous cycle too that I've talked about in the past where, you know, hedgers are forced to essentially be long VIX on the other side of that trade, the commercials. And so, you know, they hedge that by essentially, in some respect, buying S&P futures, which, you know, creates a self kind of fulfilling prophecy. So selling volatility could, you know, be to some extent the tail wagging the dog here, but there's also a ton of just money that's flowed into, especially low volatility types of ETFs and things, several billion dollars. I think we've seen record flows into those ETFs over the last few months. So yeah, it's definitely the FOMO stage of the rally here.
So, Jesse, it really just goes to show how much liquidity, how much money is still available around the world. I think a lot thanks to still these low interest rates, even negative interest rates in some major economies. And the fact of the matter is this money lands on the markets, and the U.S. still does look stronger than the rest of the other developed economies. Do you think this divergence or discrepancy could continue for a while where money needs to find somewhere to go and the U.S. seems to be stronger than everyone else? So why not just keep putting it into the U.S.?
You know, I think so. We're seeing dollar, you know, basically after hedging costs, overseas investors, in the treasury market are making zero returns. So, you know, I think we're getting close to the tail end of that trade. The negative interest rates in Japan and Germany, for example, drive, you know, funds to here in order to, take advantage of positive nominal rates. But after hedging costs, that's becoming a problem. So, you know, I want to also just address the topic of liquidity, because I think it's not so much that there's tons of money flowing into the market. I think it's the combination of ultra low liquidity in the market right now. And so it doesn't take a whole lot of inflows or a lot of buying to push prices higher. We're seeing record low liquidity in the equity markets and tons of markets right now. And so I really just think it's a lot easier to manipulate prices higher. It doesn't take as much flow in order to create that type of situation.
All right, let's also talk about the precious metal, something that you and I have discussed on a regular basis. I know from reading up on your work, you still do like the attractiveness of the precious metals trade, especially in some of the large miners and also in gold in general. Gold is holding up relatively well when you consider that the dollar is breaking out to 52-week highs, but the fact of the matter is it's still just in the middle of its trade and relatively boring. Where do you stand on precious metals and the environment for them right now?
Yeah, I'm still very bullish on gold. I think in terms of all the asset classes generally that I look at, it's the only one that I'd want to be overweight right now. And I really do think it's a good sign that the dollar is, you know, trading higher this week over the past couple of weeks. And gold is kind of hanging in there, especially today, you know, Wednesday. You know, the dollar is pushing higher pretty significantly, and gold's also trading higher, which I think is potentially a good sign. The way I look at it technically from a longer term perspective is I look at that 2013 breakdown in the gold price when it finally broke that support around 1540 or something, and then that really just started the plunge and the painful bear market in gold that lasted several years. I think that ended in 2015-16. We're seeing the very early stages, beginnings of a new bull market. And we're seeing we have a pattern of higher lows, you know, since that 2016 low. The low in 2017 was higher. The low last year was another higher low. To me, that's very constructive over that period of time. And I think if you see right now where I think it looks like gold is preparing to break out above this 1350 level. And if it does, go back and look at what the breakdown looked like in 2013, because that's what the breakout is going to look like on the other side when it gets above 1350. It's going to go a couple hundred bucks straight higher, because everybody's watching that resistance level. And so once it's broken convincingly, you're going to have a ton of skeptics just jump on board, trend followers and even, you know, larger portfolio managers that say, in this environment, I have to own some gold.
Now, how are you going to try to play that breakout? We can talk all we want about what will cause that breakout, when money will start flowing in, but the fact of the matter is that's just a guessing game right now. The important thing is how you are going to position your portfolio to capitalize on when that breakout finally does happen.
Well, you know, I've been trading around my gold position since, I guess, summer of 2015 is when I really started looking into these things and trading them, because gold became so hated. That was the gold is a pet rock headline, you know, in the Wall Street Journal. And that was really turned me on to the sector. So longer term, I'm bullish for a number of reasons. But more tactically speaking, I think you know, I do like some of the miners. I think they will, you know, some of those stocks have been just, you know, left for dead and are trading at a discount to their book value and a discount to, you know, the metal. If you look at just, you know, ratio of like the gold mining index to the metal, they're very depressed. And so I think if gold price does break out and move higher, the stocks are going to have to really, really take off, because, you know, obviously they're leveraged to the price. But from the sentiment standpoint, too, that nobody's wanted to own these things, that when money starts pouring back into them, this low liquidity environment like we're seeing in stocks will be kind of replicated. And I think the gold miners, there's just so little supply of the mining stocks out there when you look at it as a sector compared to anything else on the planet. If any money decides to allocate towards them, they're going to just explode higher, very much like they did from, you know, 2001 to 2009, 10, 11. And so that's probably how I'm looking to play them, is through the mining stocks.
All right, there you have it from Jesse Felder. Jesse, I always enjoy reading over all of your work that you put out, both free and to subscribers. Hey, Jesse, have a great rest of your weekend. Thanks again for your time today.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 31st to June 3rd for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into ancient aliens, human origins, crop circles, and UFO sightings. More than 100 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts like Giorgio Tsoukalos, David Wilcock, Linda Moulton Howe, Eric Von Doniken, Doc Wallach, and so many more. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, and I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for Mom and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains, right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com, your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing on with the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation I just had with Jesse Felder. I find Jesse to be a very interesting individual and one that writes a very valuable newsletter. In this segment, I am chatting with Roggie Horner. She is the managing director of futures trading over at Simpler Trading. Roggie joins me about every 2 weeks to recap some of the main markets that are moving and some of the research that she has been doing. And that's what I want to outline in this segment, is some research that Roggie's been doing in terms of volume during this rebound in the U.S. equity markets. We are seeing just generally lower volume as these markets have rebounded and touched all-time highs this week. Roggie, can you share some of what you've been researching and what it's been telling you about this market recovery?
You got it. Great to be back. I think this is a perfect topic for sort of when the markets are closed and people are doing some of their research. And I'm a big fan of Jesse, so I'm looking, you know, I think that I would definitely advise a lot of the listeners to take heed of what he says. He's been talking about some very interesting things over the years. But anyway, in terms of, there's kind of in my mind two trends that are going to run parallel in a market at any given time. That's, of course, it's price-driven model, where a lot of technicians and price-driven traders are going to look at, you know, some of the chop that we're seeing in individual sectors, but the overall broader averages moving higher, S&P and NASDAQ of most note. But there's also a trend that we see when we kind of look below the surface. I kind of call it a sub-market trend. And that's going to be driven by particular points at which volume and price tell us that there are, you know, sizable orders hitting the market. And they're not always going to be levels that make technical sense because they're being executed because of, say, buybacks or hedge funds getting into a market. But they're going to be very large volume levels. And this is stuff that I think people who study, say, volume profile, things like point of control, or one of my personal favorites, the volume-weighted average price, those folks are going to notice that there's a trend happening price-wise, or even a lack of clarity sometimes, but those volume-weighted average price trends have been very steady since the market bottomed out late in December of last year.
So, Roggie, how does this also tie into share buybacks? We continue to see corporations, although now it is kind of generally led by just a few corporations buying back massive amounts of shares. To me, when we see lower volume, it really makes these share buybacks almost more impactful on the market. That does support these stocks still moving higher.
Oh, you're absolutely right, and that's just such a great point. You know, if we take a look at the bulk of the rally that we've seen here in 2019, and I'm never here to say that it's not real. You know, no one's looking at their statements as a trader or an investor and getting docked 10% because they say, well, this isn't real because the volume is so low. So I always want to make sure I'm tempering this. I'm just very suspect of the move because I question who is actually participating. So if we saw, I believe it was $805 or $806 billion in the S&P, where companies bought shares back of their stock. And look, this is a very well-known tactic that we see happening, affecting earnings per share, EPS. CEOs just juice up their earnings per share. They juice up their stock prices. They're just soaking up that float. So at some point, we know that, you know, we're on track right now to probably at the moment, we're $200 billion plus so far in 2019. We're on track to match that. Well, everyone knows, generally speaking, what 2018 did. And I think that was fueled by and large by the big corporate tax cut in Q1 of 2018 and obviously all these buybacks. So we're seeing a huge corporate debt, literally just a binge, somewhere north of $2.5 trillion. And you got to wonder when they're just going to, well, have to face reality, whether that be corporate or even the U.S. I mean, even the U.S. is pushing liquidity back in the system. European Central Bank doing the same thing. People's Bank of China doing the same thing. So it is liquidity, and I'll say nearly 100%, that has this market up higher. And I think if we look at Q2 and Q1 earnings, neither were all that impressive. So what fuels this move higher? It's the buybacks, and the buybacks are fueled by that liquidity. I mean, think of the cash windfall that they had late 2017, 2018, when the president gave those U.S. corps all that free money, if you will, with the tax cuts.
Well, how important, too, is still these lower yields. I know that yields are lower in other parts of the world, but still, if we have the 10-year restricted somewhere around 2.5%, do you think that also frees up that money, gives these companies still confidence to keep up these buybacks?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we can start to see real yields start to rally again. I mean, I've been long gold because I've seen real yields continue to drop. This is the first time in a while where gold has fallen and real yields are actually starting to tick up. So again, this might be the very, very edge of where that particular, this habit we're seeing of the, you know, this corporate buybacks, this might be the first sign that we might be seeing the beginning of the end of that. And I think a lot of the low volume, the sideways action, even though we're hitting new highs, you know, one thing that everyone should remember is before we toppled over in October, we hit new highs. And we did so on fairly low volume then, too. So I'm not saying this is a harbinger to that kind of drop, but these are signs that we should all be aware of. Your guess is as good as mine, my friend. I think folks like you and me, we're students of history, right? We're students of recognizing patterns. Those patterns are starting to play out again. And that's why I advise traders to, even though bonds and gold have been hit a little bit, I'm still bullish bonds and gold. I'm still bullish bond proxies like utilities. And I still recommend folks take a look at things like healthcare and stocks that are not high beta, high momentum. In other words, ease up on the cloud computing, ease up on the tech, ease up on the discretionary a little bit, and think about staples, things like that.
Now, what does that mean for the overall markets? A trend that we saw at least early in the week was stocks moving higher to all-time highs, the dollar breaking out to at least a 52-week high, and we did also see yields falling. So that whole environment there where we saw kind of money hitting all sectors, not just the risk-on sectors.
You know, I think it's so funny. I can only imagine a listener going, wait, Rob, you're telling us we hit all-time highs, but we should be cautious. What I really would love traders to do is realize that you don't want to be buying at the top of the range. You know, you don't want to be entering more of that high beta, high momentum, your tech, the names that have been flying since, you know, the lows in December. You don't want to be buying these at the top of the range. What you want to do is say, look, if I've got some of these names, great. You know, put a trailing stop or a break even and manage these great positions, but don't add to them at highs. That's number one. And number two is those sectors and those names aren't as, let's just use the word sexy, as some of these cloud computing or tech names or discretionary names. Take another look at those.
All right, Ruggie, we're going to wrap it up there, but some very interesting and good points. Ruggie, great chatting with you, everyone. Go check out that Simpler Trading website. Thanks for your time, Ruggie.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Hundreds of students at Cal State University in Los Angeles are under quarantine after possibly being exposed to measles. More from USA's Rick Vincent.
While speaking with reporters, Dr. Barbara Fair, director of LA County Health Department, said those under the quarantine order must remain at home or in a designated setting and must not attend school or work.
If they have medical appointments or some other urgent matter that needs, that requires that they leave the home, they need to notify the public health department before they do that. And they have a number to call so that they can get assistance in making sure as they travel, they don't inadvertently risk exposing others to measles.
Quarantines are also in place at the University of California, LA. For USA Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
This is USA Radio News.
What's on your bucket list? Running a marathon, hiking to the top of a mountain, or maybe surfing? What if I told you you can accomplish all of it at any age? This is Wayne Allyn Root, and I'd like to introduce you to somebody that's changed my life, made me feel years younger, maybe saved my life, my Cenogenics physician, Dr. Bob Letta.
Thanks for the introduction, Wayne. At Cenogenics, we help people look and feel many years younger. We've been in business since 1997. We have locations across the United States, and we've treated over 35,000 patients worldwide. Our age management medicine is proven to work. On the Cenogenics program, you will have your own doctor, exercise counselor, and nutritionist all working together to fine-tune plans especially for you.
Thank you, Dr. Letta. I'm 57 and I feel like I'm 30 again. I feel the best of my life. I have the most energy of my life. Are you ready to start feeling the best of your life? Defy your age with Cenogenics. Call now for your free consultation at 888-YOUNGER. That's toll-free 888-YOUNGER. Or go to Cenogenics.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In these last two segments, we are going to focus a little bit more on the U.S. equity markets as well as some of that economic data, especially that GDP number, Q1 GDP that came out of the U.S. I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He is a managing director at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. Mark, what we're going to do as well is kind of compare the U.S. to Europe and why we were seeing some of the currency moves and what we do have in front of us. First, though, let's talk about that Q1 GDP number. Really blew away estimates. 3.2% in Q1. That's better than the estimate of 2.3%. What were some of the nuances that you noticed in that GDP number?
Yeah, no, you're right. It blew everybody away. Like people who had the banks who had these very sophisticated models, or even people like myself, sort of the lazy economist with a back of the envelope calculation. It looks like a strong GDP number, but you dig a little bit below the surface, and here's what it looks like. About half of the growth was because of net export function, and that's because the U.S. imported less goods, and we saw a rise in inventories. Those two things together accounted for about half of the growth of the U.S. economy, and what that means really then is that the U.S. consumers pulled back. In Q4, consumption rose 2.5%. In Q1, 1.2%. Business investment also softened. We're looking at in the U.S. It's kind of interesting that, and this maybe for real estate investors, construction like spending on structures fell for the third consecutive quarter. And spending on equipment rose 0.2%, which is the lowest in several years, since I think like 2016 or 2015. So it looks like a good number, and on the headline it is a good number. But when you dig below the surface, there's some pockets of concern, and the accumulation of inventories means that we're going to have to absorb those inventories at some point, and that could hurt production. But it's a solid number, and it's going to look better than I think it's going to be probably the fastest growing in the G7 and maybe even in the G20 outside of like a few emerging market countries for this first quarter.
So overall, still strong number, but there are some internals that can cause maybe a little sign of worry or to show that not everything is rosy. But as you said, this is going to be one of the strongest GDP numbers in the advanced economies. And that just continues to go to show that the U.S. is really outperforming the rest of the world, even if it still is slow growth. One other comment, though, is the market moves. It was interesting. Before the GDP number, we saw markets breaking higher. The U.S. dollar also broke out and continued its uptrend. But both of these, in a small sense, kind of reversed on Friday. The U.S. markets managed to get bought back during the day, but the U.S. dollar still down just a little bit. What do you think about those market reactions to that data?
Yeah, you know, I thought that I've been bullish the dollar, but I thought the break was going to come next week when we have the FOMC meeting. We get the U.S. jobs data. I thought that gave us a better fundamental cover. But the dollar rallied ahead of the GDP number. And so I sort of thought that maybe a bit of a buy the rumor and sell the fact. But, you know, I think it's a question of, for me, oftentimes the Australian dollar leads a lot of the other major currencies. Not always, but enough to when it does move, pay attention to it. And earlier this week, it felt like the euro broke out of its trading range. The Aussie's been 70, 72 cents. We broke below that, but we snapped back yesterday, closed above 70 cents, more progress today. So I wonder if this down move, this leg in the dollar that began with the strong U.S. retail sales and the poor, disappointing European PMI, with that leg down the dollar, excuse me, the leg up in the dollar is over. And if we get some consolidation now that the FOMC meeting next week is becoming more of a non-event, and despite maybe some headline risk, it becomes a non-event, and we really have to wait till next Friday when we get the U.S. jobs data.
So before we get into some of that data from next week, let's compare to what we're seeing in Europe as well. And that's also a huge component for why that dollar is breaking out. It's hard to jump on the, I think, bearish side of things when you see Europe struggling as much. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, so we've had a series of disappointing data from Europe. And this week, the big focus was on the German, the IFO survey, which we couldn't expect it. But I think that people are concerned that in the big picture that you have at the end of next month, and then in May, you've got a European parliamentary election, and those forces, those sort of fringe political forces, tend to do pretty well in the European parliamentary election. And there's still this sense that we're getting these corporate earnings. Just see how well the U.S. companies do, say, profit margin compared to Europe. I always look at the financial sector, which, as you know, the financial sector was sort of lagging in the stock market's rally. And U.S. banks sell at a little bit more than book. European banks sell at about half of book. And I think this just illustrates that the return on your investment for investors, the return on your money, your return on your capital seems to be so much more promising in the United States than in Europe. And I think that's behind the surge in the dollar. I mean, the euro, we broke down to levels we haven't seen since the first part of 2017. And so I think that that's what's telling us, I think what's driving this is just this divergence, not just a divergence in monetary policy, divergence in economic performance, divergence in profit, divergence in the return to capital.
All right, now let's look ahead to next week, because you bring up some good points. But next week, we are, again, pretty heavy on the news front. We have a Fed meeting, we have some Eurozone news, and we also have Japan closed for 10 days. Let's start off with what's going on in the U.S. and in Europe.
Yeah, so we get the FOMC meeting. Like I say, this is a, I think everybody knows the Fed's not going to change interest rates. So it just gives us a statement. And the, and of course, Powell had his press conference. I think there's one thing that people aren't talking about with Fed that might be, you should have on your radar screen, is that the Fed funds, the effective rate, which is what the Fed follows, with the effective rate, which is weighted by size of a transaction. That effective Fed funds rate is creeping above the interest the Fed pays on reserves. Last year when it was doing this, the Federal Reserve raised interest rates, the Fed funds rate, but didn't raise the interest on reserves quite as much. So it puts the Federal Reserve in a bit of a bind. If that effective Fed funds rate stays above 2.4%, and right now it's 2.44, the Federal Reserve will feel increasingly compelled to respond to it in some fashion. And one thing they could do is they can cut the interest on reserves without changing the Fed funds range. Right now, the Fed funds target range is 225 to 250. Interest on reserves is 240. Overnight rates should be capped at 240, but they're creeping through that. So one thing the Fed could do, especially if that 244 becomes 248, 249, 250, hitting the top end of the Fed funds range, the Fed could keep the Fed funds target the same and just cut the interest they pay on reserves to basically be an operational, a technical thing. But the market would see this as very dovish.
So does that mean that you would think that we would see maybe another push higher by these U.S. equity markets, almost confirming this breakout or new all-time highs that a couple of the markets put in this week?
I do think that I think that we get some consolidation here. I think people are getting a little scared. You know, if you have told me around Christmas that by Easter I'd be up 16% for the year, I'd be happy to have that to be my whole year return. And so I think that the old adage about sell in May and go away, I think people might take that to heart. You're trying to take some money off the table as stock prices go up and earnings forecasts, forward guidance has come down. But, you know, in addition to the FOMC meeting, we get the jobs data. This is another strong part of the U.S. economy. The labor market remains fairly robust. We had that 1 week number since February. But we're looking at another number around the average, call it about 185,000, just below 200,000. And this is another sign that, yes, the U.S. economy, it has some headwinds.
All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up there. It's great having you on the show. And again, everybody go check out Mark's website, Mark2Market. That first Mark is spelt M-A-R-C. It's great having you on the show, Mark, and some interesting comments on data that we saw and can expect coming out next week. Have a great rest of your weekend there, Mark.
Thank you. Good luck, everybody.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercials. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. I am chatting and closing out the first hour with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. Chris, all last segment I dedicated with Mark Chandler to the data that we saw, the GDP number, as well as some of the internals, and what to look forward to. What I want to first start talking to you about is the interest rate picture in the U.S. It was kind of curious this week that with a good GDP number and with markets continuing to move higher and break to all-time highs in a number of those markets, we saw interest rates move down a little bit. The 10-year closed the week at right around 2.5%, but quite frankly, you would, or I thought you could expect kind of a different reaction from the bond market and yields. Start us off here. What are your thoughts?
Well, it is somewhat surprising, Corey. You've got the stock market, at least the S&P and the NASDAQ, closing at a new high on Friday. You had the GDP number, which, as you explained with Mark, when you dig down into the number, it wasn't as bullish as the headline, which was a surprise, suggested. But nevertheless, those two things should have seen yields move higher. And instead, they went the other direction, quite surprisingly. And as you and I discussed in the middle of the week, a lot of that is due to the foreign buying that has come in. I mean, if you're a foreign money manager and you have zero interest rates on 10-year German IOUs and 2.5% on 10-year U.S. IOUs and in a much stronger currency, it doesn't take a genius to figure out which way you should go. And so that's a part of the reason why yields went down, because you got a firm bid for treasuries. The dollar index, though it came off a little bit on Friday, nevertheless hit its highest weekly close in about 2 years and is not going to slow down. going forward. The trend is still now unmistakably higher. And to me, that is the biggest thing that the stock market is whistling past. You can talk about Intel and ExxonMobil and 3M this week, three key companies, all of which disappointed. Intel was down almost 10% on Friday, and that didn't keep the NASDAQ from making a new high. So ever more, even though I'm not saying we should have a crash in the stock market by any means, but ever more, Corey, it looks as though the strong dollar is being ignored, the stresses elsewhere are being ignored, and the fact, as I talk about in my current issue, of really no resolution yet on trade, and the week ending, and this shocked me yesterday, when I heard the FBI director and what he said about China, and the market rallied into the close. So they're whistling past this whole trade thing, too, which may not be resolved.
And Chris, doesn't this also just speak to something you and I have talked about, is that there still is just so much liquidity out in the world, and it's still searching for somewhere to find, and even though we can argue that the markets aren't paying attention to the worrisome signs, money's got to land somewhere, and it just keeps landing in the U.S.
It does, you know, and until something apparently more noteworthy comes along that shakes investor confidence again, the path of least resistance is, you know, seemingly this slow melt up in the stock market. Now, you've got a lot of danger signs there. Copper didn't take part in this. That's bad. Oil got hit at the end of the week, though a lot of that was jawboning from the Orange Wonder once again, trying to get OPEC to pump more oil to make up for, you know, him turning over the reins of government to the John Boltons and Mike Pompeos and the American Enterprise Institute of the world again, because they want a war with Iran or Russia or somebody. So, you know, when you see key elements of the growth economy, if it was a legitimate growth economy, not participating in this, then it increases the argument that chasing momentum in the stock market indices is nothing more than that, and that, you know, the substance is just not going to be there in the end to justify these rallies and to maintain them going forward.
Okay. Chris, I do also want to get your quick comment on that GDP number. And we did talk about it. Some of the internals were a bit more mixed, but you have to admit 3.2% GDP growth when just a couple months ago people were talking about sub 1% GDP growth. That's a pretty big miss or a pretty big change from where we started that quarter.
Well, it is. But first of all, the stock market gains in the first quarter themselves augment that number, because that is an element, right or wrong, in GDP. So, you know, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy for those that wanted to be more bullish and have higher expectations for first quarter growth. They kind of made it happen by pushing the stock market higher, number one. Number two, and you and I have talked about this before, and this has been parsed over a lot, when you look at a lot of the inventory and trade activity, you had a combination of things that front-loaded a lot more business as 2018 ended and as 2019 began that aren't likely to be repeated. I mean, in some areas, and this is one of the reasons Intel got hit, and look, people should just listen to what Intel said to look at what the whole global trade picture is, Corey. Not saying that we're going into a full-fledged crash or full-fledged global depression or anything like that, but the global economy is bogging down under a lot of debt, a lot of different cross currents, a lot of conflicting priorities on trade. And so, you know, the fact that you were able to get a good number in the first quarter, that's wonderful. Everybody wants to see that. I don't think anybody's out there actually cheering and hoping that we have a recession, but we just all have to look at reality. We have to all look at the facts. And I think the facts are, as a number of these companies, UPS again, same thing. You know, the global economy's growth has slowed markedly. South Korea this week came out with its worst economic numbers since the financial crisis a decade ago. And they're supposed to be one of the most dynamic economies in Asia. So, you know, you add all of these things together, and should we see the stock market go back to where it was at Christmas Eve? No. But should we be up where we're at right now? I think the answer to that is no, likewise.
It is, and a couple of things to consider is that in some of those internals, that core PCE came in softer at 1.3%, again below the Fed's target of 2%, plus the rate cut expectations now to 50% for the September meeting. Kind of interesting. Let's finish off with the precious metals. You have touched on them, but a very good finish on Friday on the back of that good data and still on the back of U.S. markets getting a buy throughout the day. The stocks, GDX and GDXJ, were up just over 2% and over 3% for GDXJ. Gold was up. Still, we're not seeing any breakouts, but it did save the precious metals markets from a further breakdown. Wrap us up with this sector.
Well, that the last thing you said is the takeaway, I think, for right now, Corey. Look, I went bullish as a sector play on gold last fall when the Fed started to signal it was changing course. That was the first time in quite a few years that I've been bullish on gold generally. I've got several individual companies, three of which, even though the whole sector is still in the dumps, have recently hit new 52-week highs, I'm happy to say. So, you know, stock selection is important. But look, when the central banks are all telling you one way or the other that they're all going back to inflate or die mode, despite the fact that you've got the dollar at a two-year high, gold is still going to get some kind of a bid. Of course, it's doing much better in other currencies than it is in the U.S. dollar. You know, if you're a European investor and you own gold, you love it. If you're in Australia, you're really tickled pink if you own gold, because in recent past, gold hit an all-time high in terms of Australian dollars. So, you know, the long-term prognosis, you know, is solid. Because the central banks are all going to be in inflate or die mode. And the fact that you saw the dollar make a new two-year high this week and gold didn't break below really its most important technical level at this point, which is the 1260 an ounce or so area, and actually, as I said, Friday rallied pretty nicely, even with the dollar index still significantly above now its prior peak. It shows you that there's still some underlying strength. And so, you know, my advice to people, and I've got a whole section in my current issue handicapping the precious metals, which stocks I like and which kinds of stocks I like, what attributes you need to look for right now. This is a great time to be loading up a little bit more.
All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. I appreciate all the time that you spend with me and on our website throughout the week. Everyone, if you want more information on Chris's newsletter, feel free to email me, fleck@kereport.com, or follow the links that I post to his website. In the meantime, everyone, please keep in touch. I love hearing from all of you, and please listen to those company updates, a number of them that I did this week, trying to introduce some of the new companies that have been introduced to me that I think might have some legs in this even sideways market. Chris, again, thank you for your time this weekend. Have a great weekend.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's Dr. Sonia Baccia on The Doctors.
So this is a product we're going to see if it works. It's called Instantly Ageless. And the idea is that it works very quickly. Is you just need a very small amount. And then you apply it to areas where you might be a little bit puffy. I have just looked at what's in this product. And one of them is something called argireline, which is sort of a darling in dermatology right now. It's a peptide or a protein that actually relaxes the muscle. It's also called Botox in a bottle. The other active ingredient in this is silicates, which are almost act like a clay. They're minerals, and they're making the skin sort of tighter. It's actually increasing the surface tension on the skin to push that herniated fat pad back.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com.
anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.